Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Got one of the best lineups in baseball, and we can't get these guys home. And Freddie Freeman and Josh Donaldson and Markakis. Donaldson hit 158. Now, I know he went deep yesterday, but, you know, it was almost like, thank God we scored. Markakis hit 143 in this series, and then you got Freddie, who hit 200. And that's just, that's unacceptable.
And Freddie's hits, of course, as we said, I mean, nothing was going to change that outcome yesterday, but that's where he finally got some contact. But unfortunately, he also had an error in the field with a runner, which maybe shielded his reaction. But a potential double play ball goes out the window, and you might have been able to get out of that first inning, as we said, with minimal bleeding. But it just, as we said, when it rains, it pours. And Freddie, I mean, that's what stinks. I gave you all those names yesterday, Carl, up at Murph's. You know, Reggie Jackson had a 182 for the Angels. We talked about Mike Schmidt in 83. You know, there's Ted Williams. You could go down the list of guys, you know, greater than Freddie, who have really had some really bad moments in October. But unfortunately, now you got all offseason to think about a 13-1 butt whooping at the hands of the Cardinals. And now you're going to watch a team from your division potentially make it to the World Series if they can handle the hot Cardinals.
All right, 10 consecutive playoff round losses since 2001. We're talking about NLDS. So we get there. But 10 times now, we have not moved on.
But we did discuss this a lot yesterday, if you missed the show, where if you look at the numbers, Donaldson had cooled off in September. Freddie had cooled off. Freddie was that we didn't really know about that that elbow injury until he left a game early up in Washington. So the bone spurs, Freddie's never going to say, yeah, I'm going to cop out. I got an excuse. It's physical. Physical. So he's never going to play that card. You weren't going to tweak the lineup. We talked about it. The only thing they did do was add Duvall. You weren't going to drop guys in the lineup. But last game of the season, it's the worst Braves game I've ever seen. I think everyone who was there can say the same thing. I mentioned, if you missed it, watching the Dodger game against the Nats. Ernie Johnson Jr. and Jeff Francoeur were talking about they were hanging out in, like, the press box before the game. And there's a bunch of Dodger legends there and, like, guys like Dave Winfield for there. And they're all literally, their jaws are hitting the floor watching the Cardinals put up that, like, 10 spot. Never seen anything like it.
Let's hear from Folty, because he didn't last – but a third of an inning, basically. He was charged with 7 runs. And as you'll hear coming up next hour, as we talk about this as part of our strong arm story of the day, there are some phenomena that you just don't, you can't explain. And for Folty, if I went back and showed you how good he had been, even heading into this series, and how good he was in his first start in this series, you would have never guessed that what happened yesterday happened to Folty. Here's what he had to say.
Obviously, let these teammates down. Like this is very tough for me, and I'm the one that, you know, it's got to go to the off season with it and all that fun stuff. So,
yeah, I mean that's gonna keep you up at night.
23 pitches, Mike. 23 pitches into the game and it was over.
But what did you think of his stuff? I mean, I thought some of his location was a little off. I thought the umpire wasn't helping him either. He's getting squeezed.
Listen, they made the right decision. This is what's crazy about yesterday. You go, all right, he doesn't have it. You pull him and you bring in Freed, who's fresh, and he walks the pitcher. Yeah, I mean, that can't go ignored, Mike.
No, look, we've said it all day. Flaherty's not – I mean, he's a 185 hitter this season. He's another hitter in the NL. It wasn't like, a guy, oh, you got to watch out for this guy. He could not get the ball over. He even took something off his fastball to try to get one over, and that's unbelievable. So now you walked in 2 runs between your 2 best pitchers, arguably other than Soroka. And then, as we said, you combine the Freddie error – then the Cardinals, I mean, they're lacing balls in between the third base and the first base line. You know, I mean, it's just nothing you can do, indefensible. So it's not your day. So what do you do? Well, you get some runners on base, first and second, bottom of the first, and you can't knock them in. You could have given yourself a spark, a sign of life.
A life, yeah.
You know, something to build on, and then hopefully your pitchers will hold down the fort. And even that went out the window. So, yeah, I know we've talked about the curse. It's not a curse. Guys either hit or they don't hit. Managers make bad decisions. Football coaches forget about where they're at in the game, like the Super Bowl. You guys want to play cursed? It's a curse. We're Atlanta. We're cursed. It's childish. It's a stupid cop-out. It's ignorant. It is. It's juvenile to think that we have a curse. No, managers don't make good decisions. Players get cold at the wrong time. Chris Martin hits a freaking oblique. You know, that was another part of game one.
Well,
but to say a curse is that's a mental cop-out, guys. Demand more from your teams Management's got to make better decisions, period.
And our players have to play better.
Freddie was awful. And this is not a knock. Freddie's heart and soul of the Braves, team MVP. He was awful.
Yeah. And so when you get into these moments, you know, if your stars, I'll put it to you like this, and we're going to talk some college football coming up. In the playoffs, and this is in the tradition of baseball history, but the playoffs, Mike, you need two things. You need, one, your stars to play like stars. And then you have usually a situation where one or two guys do something out of the norm. And we've seen this through the Braves' run of 14 straight division titles where we get in the playoffs and we ultimately lose to a team and you go, Laritz? I mean, it's one of those things. Last night, do you know who hit the home run to win the game for the Nationals? Go look up this. Go look up his numbers and tell me he's a superstar in this league. He's not.
He's a lifer. Hendricks is a lifer. Kendricks, is, I should say, is a lifer in the bigs.
But he comes up in a situation where he does something out of the norm, and all of a sudden, they win.
Kelly's one-strike pitch. Swinging a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam.
Former Dodger, by the way, Howie Kendrick, and a guy that, remember when we played the Nats here, and you and I were talking about how violent his swing is?
Yep.
I mean, he's still, for an older guy, man, he turns on the ball, and that you want to talk about going down and getting it. And also, this goes back to managers. You know, Dave Roberts, he's going to overthink this. He's, you know what, I got a guy, I'm going to go on the rep now, he's going to get it done. He doesn't handle postseason moments well. That's Clayton Kershaw's MO. He doesn't have Carl the speed he had back in the day. Everything's coming up at the same speed. 89 miles an hour, by the way, both balls that were hit over the fence. So you had every lefty-righty matchup. It wasn't like you're out of pitchers, but Dave Roberts overthinks it. He's getting killed in L.A. A lot of people are wondering, did A.J. Hinch screw the pooch by letting Verlander talk him into pitching game four in Tampa Bay?
That's a 36-year-old second baseman who hit 250, who just put you in the NLCS. Not one of your superstars. It wasn't Soto. Yeah, he did his job. Or Rendon, who did his job. But that's what we were missing.
Right. Everybody's got to contribute. The Nats, that both teams that were behind. I mean, you look at the Nats and you look at the Cardinals, who obviously didn't have as good a record as us. But these were guys that battled to the wire. The Nats to stay, hang on to that number one wild card spot, and the Cardinals to beat the Brewers. And again, it's not a curse. It's just the Braves. They clinched it, and guys fell off. That's how it went down. You had better pitching. I think Flaherty is kind of a, you know, starts with a P and ends with a K, but the guy's pretty darn good.
Yeah, he went
his ERA speaks for itself.
Yeah, he's their best pitcher, no doubt. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. More on the Braves coming up, and we will talk more about Dallas Keuchel because I know there are some people who think, you know, again, that it's a no-brainer to bring Keuchel back. I'm not going to say that. I thought it was the right move to bring him in. It's what we needed.
But he wasn't good.
But when we needed him in these playoffs, I just don't think he pitched the way that we thought he would. And again, Snicker again, Mike, takes him out early in that first game. He could have left him in.
Well, you could have left Fried in that first game, too. You know, I mean, if you're going to use Fried the way you did out of the bullpen, two innings was not going to kill him. They use one. They go to Green early, and then the Chris Martin thing happens. So you and I have fixated on the overmanagement, the micromanagement, like it was game five in game one by Brian Snicker. And then the lack of performance, 3, 4, and 5 in the game four in St. Louis. That's where you can pick your spots, guys, because you can't blame it all on Snitker. Your biggest guys that got you there, Freddie, Donaldson, and Markakis was so good coming off the IL, too. That's what's so surprising for Markakis to get so cold.
All right, man. Your thoughts, 404-741-0929. We got more to get to here on the program. We will talk about the Falcons coming up as they continue to train and get ready for Sunday. We're going to talk about some injury updates and also what the Cardinals' offense may look like in the Falcon report. But right now, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you, as always, by Cool Ray.
Yeah, man, Cool Ray. Turning an unbelievable deal right now. You guys have got to get a piece of. It's Cool Ray and Carrier. Turn to the experts. It's a lifetime warranty for parts and labor when you buy your new AC unit from Cool Ray.
Now, we just had a great conversation with the legendary Vince Dooley talking about the dogs not looking ahead. Go handle your business against South Carolina. Stay the course. Let's continue to work on some of these things we've talked about. Kirby continues to challenge his team in certain areas, Mike, basically saying we're not good here, we're not good there. Is it a ploy? Maybe. Or maybe Kirby's right and he sees what they're going to need down the road to beat some of these teams that maybe they'll have to take on in the college football playoff if they get there. What's going on with Trevor Lawrence, man? People are saying he hasn't been the same this season. Early Heisman favorite. Everybody's talking about Trevor Lawrence, and so was I as a true freshman last season. You know, he threw four interceptions, nearly 400 attempts last season, completing over 65% of his passes. He was amazing. You know how it ended. So in the first three games of this season, he has already tossed five picks in 97 attempts. So his interception numbers are up, Mike. And it just seems like he doesn't have some of the accuracy that he had last year. Now, is Clemson complaining? No, because they still are undefeated. But is he playing at the same level?
No, it just looks like something's missing right now. And whether that's some confidence or overconfidence, or perhaps they're sandbagging some of the things. Like the Carolina game, if that's not a wake-up call, I don't know what is. Both Florida State and Clemson have got 2 weeks to get ready. Florida State's certainly feeling good about themselves. They've got some defensive players now. Now, Florida State, they brought in Jim Leavitt to kind of help out and consult with the defense. I don't know if that's all he's doing. I think there's also some guys kind of playing a little more discipline now. Florida State makes total mental mistakes in the first few games. They cleaned up some of those things in the NC State game. So this will not be a cakewalk for Clemson. I'm not pumping that up as an FSU fan. I just think they've got individual athletes at Florida State that can come off the edge. And, again, they're going to lean on ETN to run the football because Lawrence, I don't know, by all accounts, the guy walks on water up there, right? And in Georgia, where Cartersville kid, is he enjoying being Trevor Lawrence based on it's a hell of a first season?
It is.
I mean, this is just subjective thinking on our part. I don't know.
But real talk, things change.
If I look like Sunshine and was walking around campus, I might be a little off focus myself.
You go from being a guy that all this hype is around, and then you lead your team to the national championship, and now you are the BMOC, as I like to say.
Right.
So, you know, that does change you, whether you want it to or not, because you can't go anywhere without somebody going, Trevor!
Hey, what's up?
Holler at
Trevor!
You.
What's up, girl?
I mean, I would saw off 10 years at the back of my life to be that tall and have that hair. But, again, enough about me.
I want to say this, though. He's got 8 touchdowns, 5 picks. That's the problem. He's completing 62% of his passes. Some people will say the run game's been so good, he hadn't had to do as much maybe as he did last year. I'm just a little concerned. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not about the ACC competition. It's when they get past the ACC.
He's got the wide receivers. He's got a good wide receiver core. They're saying James Blackman's going to play, although Hornibrook for Florida State might be the better fit. He makes more conservative decisions and doesn't force the issue. But it looks like Blackman will be quarterback. We'll see if they change their mind on that one. Also, Carl, we talked about what's going on with the Miami Hurricanes. That game, I don't know if you got a chance to see the Virginia Tech-Miami game. We were over at Andy Bunker's house for the big house party that went on after our tailgate fest. One of the craziest games I've ever seen. They're going to go roll back with Nakosi Perry at quarterback for the injured Jaron Williams. They take on a good UVA team. Manny Diaz, that would have been a comeback, and that would have been a real whirlwind to build for your program on, but they blew it in the end against Virginia Tech. And Georgia, by the way, as we talked with Coach Dooley last hour, if you missed it, don't forget now, they got a decent quarterback. Halinski's done a nice job. He's again, you can't compare him to Fromm. I'm just curious to see if Georgia's going to dial up the havoc rate, or they're just simply going to get that pass rush from their down lineman in the 3-4.
Mizzou, by the way, if you've not been paying attention, having a really good season. Now, I don't know, if the injury, their quarterback got injured, right? I'm thinking Kelly Bryant. Wasn't it Kelly Bryant injured? But I don't know the extent of how long he's going to be out or how serious that is, but Mizzou has looked really good as well. I only bring that up to say, don't just think it's the dogs in Florida, which most people do. Mizzou could have something to say about that. I just don't think South Carolina will. I don't think South Carolina is going to have anything to say about who wins the East. Last year, to me, Mike, was allegedly his best team there as far as what Will Muschamp had built. And then that game was at South Carolina. The hype was there. It was a hot Saturday afternoon. And the dogs go in there, and that thing was over in a half. So I just have no faith that they're going to be able to do anything when they had, to me, more explosive playmakers last year on the South Carolina team.
Right.
And they didn't do anything.
And the other big matchups, we already talked about Alabama and A&M. And again, barring some turnovers from Tua, it's hard to see Alabama not going into Kyle Field and getting the win. Meanwhile, the Florida Gators, they did some really interesting looks. They really confused Bo Nix. They're kind of sort of piggybacking or peekabooing with their safeties or changing their defensive coverages. They'll try to do that to Joe Burrow. But Florida's got an amazing they've always got a good defense. But they got guys that get after it at the line of scrimmage. They got good corners. They got a good scheme. And that's what they'll try to do against LSU.
Dukes and Bell brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our National Signing Bonus Contest right now.
Right now. No, not that.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
Print, P-R-I-N-T. Print is the word. Text it to 72881. That's 72881. For your chance to win, guys, from your cell phone, message and data rates do apply. It is a chance for you to win $1,000. Print is the word.
You'll be printing money, brother.
I'd like to. Hey, man, we're coming back. We got more to get to. Falcons on the field. We're going to get into a couple of things we got talked about yesterday. Some of this stuff might got lost because we were all like, oh, with the Braves game. We'll rehash some of that conversation and also tell you more about what the Falcons expect to see on offense next. So what's going on with our Falcons out in Arizona? A couple of things. Mike, this team, the Cardinals, have been giving up big plays to tight ends all season long. They've given up basically almost 30 catches for almost 400 yards and 5 touchdowns to tight ends.
Hoop!
Seattle, Olsen from the Panthers had a big game against him.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens tight end, Andrews, had a big game against him. Hockenson from the Lions.
Right.
So this weekend, you go, all right, Dirk.
Hello.
Well, Hoop is certainly, and Sanu benefited since Dirk's gotten back here.
You make a game plan for the tight end because that's what they're giving up. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Hoop's had a really good season, though. As far as the injuries, we'll get more into this at 5 o'clock in the Falcon Report. Julio did not participate. I don't think that's a big deal. Trufant had a toe, and Bleedy Ray Wilson continues to be out as well. I think both Julio and you know, True play. But I also think the cornerback position, specifically, Mike, is something right now we're not sure about because KZ is working through that concussion protocol, and that could mean Kendall Sheffield or Jordan Miller potentially out there playing corner.
And the new
or
dude,
safety, or Sheffield's going to a corner, though.
Yeah, the new dude, DJ White, we picked up off the Eagles practice squad. So, we're thin in the secondary, and whatever they were going to I guess people wonder, like, well, how many weeks or how many days of practice, I should say, in that week would you have out in Arizona? But, I mean, trying to get this game plan implemented where whatever you're doing, you finally get everybody on the same page. And that's what it really looks like. In the secondary, nobody's on the same page, right? If it's a zone coverage, you know, somebody's in the wrong spot. If it's man-to-man, the other guy doesn't realize what's going on. Guys are running free. We've seen it all week. We looked at the highlights, I should say, and talked about it all week about what you saw in Houston. So, look, you're going up against a young quarterback who's, you know, gaining more experience each week. If Christian Kirk goes, he along with Fitzgerald, that's interesting. David Johnson is banged up, by the way. You know what that's like as your former fantasy running back.
That I do. He is, I'm trying to think back. He had a pretty decent game in his in the last week, but hasn't gotten much better since the game when he was injured. So I don't know if he'll play or not. I do know Debo said this about Kyler Murray. They've been watching a lot of tape on him, and he says he actually thinks Murray moves better than a guy like Russell Wilson, who we'll see in a few weeks, which is interesting.
Well, this is why we went through all this rigmarole of Dan Quinn reinventing the defensive playbook, you know, to come up with some better options for the RPO quarterbacks. By the way, David Johnson, a back injury, first half of the win against the Bengals. The word is, I'm reading this right, this came out 5 hours ago from the Arizona paper, if he's not 100%, he's just not going to go. They said if he doesn't feel right, Cliff Kingsbury says they're not going to push it. Okay. So we might not, that's one less thing to worry about for the Falcons.
It is.
I think we win this game, by the way.
Do you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Matter of fact, this Kyler Murray, he's been sacked 21 times, Carl. This is where we get the pass rush going.
We got 5 sacks.
Yeah, this is where we turn things around. Dan, just again, this Camp Quinn out there in the desert really got – you're going to see, man. You know, you have little faith.
I hope so. I do hope so. I gave you my issues or my resolution yesterday as to how to fix what's going on and getting more pass rush because it's a big part of it.
Right.
And, you know, if Dan Quinn – hello, Dan – wants to go back to some of the basics, things that have been working in the past. I'm not talking about this season. I'm talking about the last couple of years.
Right.
But the thing that I think the biggest thing that, if you missed it yesterday, that I said in resolving these issues is he's not allowing Vic Beasley to be a straight-line rusher, which is what he is, to use his speed. He doesn't have a spin move. He's not going to bull rush you. But if you put him in position in blitz packages, you could use him in a 4-3 on third down, and we could get more rush by putting Claiborne in there. And I said that. I'm curious to see if they maybe make this adjustment or some kind of adjustment that looks like this, because that's the only way this thing's going to change, Mike.
Well, I mean, you know, Vic, Dan, you know, we talked about it yesterday. And more on the Braves, guys, if you're just tuning in, and how the St. Louis Cardinals completely punked us before the game even started till after it was over. That's on the way. But, yeah, man, Quinn goes out on a limb, says he's going to get more out of Vic and Tack. And then Vic's done nothing. Vic repays the confidence in the $12.8 million signing bonus by not even attending the workouts and working out with his own people. Good luck with that. So if that's not a slap to Quinn's face, I don't know what is. But, you know, Dan's trying to get the guys rolling. I don't know what the T-shirt is this week. Maybe it is, if it bleeds, we can kill it. I made that up. I don't know, man. You think this road trip, maybe the bonding of this?
No, it's
or is
listen.
One of two things happens. They either get their balls back or the wheels completely fall off for the Falcons. That's the way I see it.
That's it. I mean, if you go in on Sunday and we lose to a a bad Arizona team. This is a young, bad Arizona team. Young from the standpoint, not guys like Larry Fitzgerald or T. Sizzle.
Technically better than us because they've got one win and a tie.
Well, that's the thing, though. They've played a little bit better. Right. But from where this team is compared to where we are on a personnel level, they shouldn't. This is not. Not you shouldn't go in there and lose. But if they right. do, yeah, the wheels have completely come off because now you got to come home and take on the Rams and Seattle. You're going to hear the Matt Ryan report coming up here in about 10 minutes. So stay there as you'll hear Matt talk to Dave Archer about what he expects to see defensively from them, and also how do you keep the confidence of your football team when you're going through something like we're going through right now, being 1-4. Back to the Braves real quick, Mike. A lot of people, and listen, we've got all offseason, okay? Today we are still reeling from what happened yesterday. But we've got all offseason to talk about what the team should do, who might be back, who might not. And a lot of people want to say, you know, all right, well, this guy deserves to be back and that guy deserves to be back. I'm just today trying to focus and get my head right around, you know, what is this? And specifically, like, what is it about our city and our teams? And we've been having this big discussion today. As I said, phenomena happen. Some things go unexplained. But I just think, Mike, it is a complete cop-out to blame it on some woo-woo, big buoy curse.
Right. And I've been talking to some folks here on Twitter. And he's Carl's Put Him Up C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. We always interact. You can get on the old Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. Same number to call in at 404-741-0929. Now, we don't get to read all the texts. There's a lot of them. But a lot of guys throwing this curse out there. No, it's not a curse. You know, the Braves' refusal to move on from Bobby Cox and try the same approach year after year, that's why you didn't get more than one World Series, okay? The Falcons' coaching staff lost total situational awareness in the final 5 minutes of the game against the Patriots. Patriots wore us down. Our young defense broke down. Alex Mack's knee was out. These things happen. Free got in his bag for being out of the game. When Coleman was hot, Coleman got hurt. Free goes back in. He's not mentally sharp. He misses a block. This is why these are all the contributing factors on why we lost the Super Bowl. But Quinn at some point's got to go, get on the radio. I know he was given total autonomy to Shanahan. You got to go, we just got to be smart here. We got to run. We got to eat some clock, run, and kick the field goal. And that's it. But nobody thought that. Not one person in that coaching staff.
Yeah.
If they did, they didn't vocalize it. But that's not a curse. That's just incompetence. Okay? What you saw here was your hottest hitters, the core of your lineup, got ice cold at the wrong time. Freddie had the worst time to be the worst Freddie ever. Okay, Snicker got too cute in game one. That's not a curse. I mean, it's to me, you want to sit there and go, we're just cursed. Gee, no, because that's a cop-out. Then you're not holding the teams accountable. Oh, it's a curse. Well, you know, Indian burial ground. No, then you're not holding the Hawks. You know why the Hawks suck for so many years?
Bad management.
They were run by a bunch of clowns called Atlanta Spirit.
Bad management. Listen, and that's the thing. So as we talk about this, and I know we're all trying to figure it out, and I don't even know if we will, to be honest with you. What I do know is I like the young nucleus of our baseball team. I've been saying it for the last couple of years. The future's bright. We got our stars locked up. But, Mike, we always talk about this, and I think here's the most frustrating part about, you know, being in these situations. It's not guaranteed you get back to the postseason. We've been in there a lot since 2001. This is our 10th playoff series loss in the NLDS. And, you know, we've had opportunities at home, five of them at home in these elimination games. We've not been able to come through. So that goes back to Turner Field, guys. I just think you can't assume, and we said this about the Super Bowl, you know, you can't assume that you're just going to get back to, oh, we got a good team. So many things happen through the course of a season. But I have to say this, guys, as bad as we're feeling today about this and as ugly as that was, nothing compares to what happened at the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl, okay? This was not the World Series. This was not Game 7 in the World Series. This was an LDS, and yeah, we probably should have moved on, but nothing compares to having a 25-point lead in the biggest game in the world with the world watching, and you blow it. So we've been here, we felt bad before, and we'll get over this thing, but it does suck right now
for
all of our teams as far as why this continues to happen and why we feel the way we do, because as soon as this thing turned bad yesterday, Mike, all you saw was, oh, Atlanta's happening.
Yeah, I mean, again, incompetence or lack of clutch is not a curse, guys. And again, it's a cop-out for a fan to say that. Then you go, I can't. That's like all these people that move here from somewhere else and go, well, you know, I just can't get invested in this. I'm a fan. I'm in it to win it. Those Braves fans, it broke their heart. I mean, the crowd shots that TBS had yesterday.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's just, you feel people. I mean, you feel for them. You just got in the stands. We had a guy that won tickets from us, and he sends his daughter and his son to go, his grandson to go.
That's right.
You know, he was so excited. And then people are sitting there like they just lost a family member, you know, in the stands. The Super Bowl, I agree with you. Nothing will ever trump blowing a 25-point lead with less than 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. That nothing will ever trump that. That's on Quinn. That residual misery is unfortunately, and I'm not saying it has any bearing on this season, but when you lose Shanahan and your coach takes over the defense and it's a gosh darn mess, that's why I'm ready to turn the page on Quinn. You know, I think, and I hate the, and believe me, I hate it as much. You and I were talking about this off the air.
We win on Sunday?
I think we still win on Sunday. We're going to just prolong the misery. Okay, we're going to win on Sunday, but we're probably going to take it on the chin. Although, look.
I just want to make sure, because you're like, I'm ready to move on from it. We'll win on Sunday.
And you know I was ready to move on. I was ready to move on last year. You knew that, but I kept my own counsel on this one.
All right,
look,
man.
We're Falcon fans. I got season tickets. I love the team. But there is no curse, guys. Teams lose because guys don't play, they don't make plays, or coaches make or managers make bad decisions. You want to go for the curse. The curse is these teams stick around with guys too long. That's the curse.
Coming up at 5:20, you'll hear our conversation, guys, about it. And some things are unexplained. That's what happened yesterday. Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament, October 23rd. You signed up yet?
Why not?
4 to 7. We'll be out there. John Freaky Hugh Douglas will be out there. Andy and Randy. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You got to leave early. Tell your boss you're helping out the vets. The Travis Banion Foundation, we're going to help out vets and getting them the guys on their feet. So you're helping a great cause. You're going to meet some celebs and have a good time.
Two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes. Guys, go sign up at 929thegame.com. Matt Ryan Report next. All right, we're going to let you hear what Matt Ryan, our quarterback, has to say. It's the Matt Ryan Report. We do it each and every Thursday, guys. Also, the Falcon Report on the way and our strong arm story of the day. You got to hear what's going on with Mike and I at 5:20. That's what I'm going to tell you. Hey, man, Falcon fans, quick reminder, join Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, and 92.9 Dark Crickets in Cup Park off of Main Street this Sunday. Hang out with the guys for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff show, to preview Atlanta taking on Arizona.
Hey, man, we got our Mimecast tweet our text message of the day, guys. Mimecast, by the way, global cloud cybersecurity provider. This comes to us from Don at Always Hungry. I think we can all relate to that Twitter handle, Carl. He writes, "We got what we deserve," talking about the Bravos. "Can't score from scoring position with no outs. They banned the chop for game 5 like a bunch of blanks. And even when we're down 10 runs, they throw to Acuna and we don't do a darn thing about it. Soft as Charmin from top to bottom." Mm. I'd have to agree with you, brother. Again, that is our message of the day, protected by Mimecast. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. Go to Mimecast.com today. That's Mimecast.com.
All right, guys, let's hear from Matt Ryan along with Dave Archer here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Win on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Now let's talk live to our Atlanta Falcons quarterback. It's the Matt Ryan Report.
Brought to you by Royal Caribbean, a proud partner of our Atlanta Falcons.
Here's Dave Archer with Matt Ryan.
Well, my pleasure to be joined by Matt Ryan here now in Countdown to Kickoff. And, Matt, this is a defense now, when you look at it, that's got two guys that are very familiar to most football fans. Chandler Jones, an outstanding rusher off the edge, and now Terrell Suggs coming off the edge as well. How do you get those two guys blocked?
That's a great question. You know, I think a lot of teams are wondering that. It's going to come down to having really good presence for us on the edge in pass protection. Both those guys are disruptive, very good pass rushers. And then I think we have to stay on schedule. If we can stay in front of the chains on first and second down, stay out of those long passing situations, and try and keep those guys off balance with the run in the pass, that gives us the best chance.
Matt, as I study the numbers, this is a team that's given up over 100 yards rushing in each of their first 5 games. Is this a game that, as you look at tape, that maybe you can get that run game cranked up?
Yeah, I mean, statistically, you know, when you look at it, you know, they have given up yards. And then you watch the film, and it's been because they've been in front, or they've been behind us as a team in a lot of those games where people are really having a lot of attempts in the rushing game. So, hopefully it's one of those things that we can gain a lead and be able to stick with the rushing game for 4 quarters, which, you know, has been a struggle for us this year. And so I think if we're able to do that, I think we can get the run game going.
It's going to be odd for you to look back there and not see Patrick Peterson still out with the suspension because of PEDs. This is a young secondary, Matt. How are they playing in the back end?
Well, you know, I think, like you mentioned, they're young. They've made some mistakes, for sure, but at the same time, they've shown some promise in their athletic. And for us, it's going to be about being on top of our execution. And more so than anything, you know, we feel like every week on the outside, and it's not a slight against anybody, but we feel like, you know, our advantage is on the outside every week with the guys that we have. So it's going to be really important for us to do a great job at the line of scrimmage, make sure our pass protection is on point so we're able to give our playmakers opportunities on the outside.
Matt, you guys have had tremendous success when you've done this a game and then stay out on the West Coast, and this being a West Coast trip to a certain extent to Arizona would qualify as that. Why is that? Why have you guys done such a good job with this type of scenario?
You know, I think it's part of it is just, you know, it's our team against everybody. You're in that environment where you're on the road and you're in the hotel, and, you know, there's just only the people in our building, and you kind of rally together. And we've done a good job of that the last handful of years, and hopefully that's the case this week. I think we've had a great week of preparation, and you can feel the sense of urgency for everybody that we're ready to get back on the field.
I think I know the answer to this one. I'll ask you. I know you've told me before, every time you step on the field, you're trying to score. Is there a sense, or can you allow yourself to have a sense that, you know what, it could be dial a score today. I've got to go score every time we touch the ball. That's just your mindset anyway, isn't it?
I think you have to have that mindset. You know, every time that we get a chance with the ball, you know, we've got to feel like we're going to go down there and get points. And so, you know, I really feel like we're capable of doing it. But it's going to take consistent execution across the board from us offensively. And so we're going to continue to have that mindset of staying aggressive and having belief that we can do it. And I think the way that we can do it is if 11 guys execute every time we touch the ball.
Matt, you've had a chance to share the field with this guy, Larry Fitzgerald. He's had a phenomenal career and continues to do it at the very highest level, 11-time Pro Bowler. You guys have shared the field in a Pro Bowl together. Tell the fan out there what kind of player Larry Fitzgerald is, what kind of man he is.
Well, you know, more important than anything, he's a great person, like you mentioned. He is he's about as nice a guy as you'll ever come across. Would do anything for you. And, you know, he's been a great friend for me for the 12 years that, you know, that I've been in the league. But this guy, he's been beating up on me since I was in high school, too. I played against him in high school when he was at Valley Forge Military Academy, and he tore us apart there. So I've seen a lot of him on the other side, and he's been consistent for a long time. But it's been an honor to compete against him.
Tell me, can you draw some parallels between their number 11 and your number 11?
There are a lot of, you know, I think the parallel, number one parallel is their consistency game to game. Both those guys are big physical guys that show up every week and play extremely well. And you know exactly what you're going to get from them. And, you know, I've seen that from Larry. Every time we play against him, you know he's going to give great effort. He's going to be in the right spot, and he's going to make plays when the ball comes his way. And I think Julio is very much the same in that way.
All right, last thing for you. Can you want a win or need a win too bad? Or does that take you out of your rhythm and maybe your focus to just go do your job?
Well, I think the one thing I've learned is the way to get a win when you really want one is to focus on doing your job. And that's all you can do. You can't try and do more. You can't try and make, you know, heroic plays every time. You just have to do the little things right for four quarters. And every snap, have that mindset that you're going to execute the way that you're capable of for that one snap. And I think if we do that at all 11 positions and all three phases, that's how you look up at the end of the game and you like where you're at.
All right, Matt, go get you a win, man. Thank you, buddy.
There he is, guys. Matt Ryan. It's the Matt Ryan Report with Dave Archer. It's an interesting little tidbit there about Larry Fitzgerald and their longtime relationship, or at least, you know, competing against each other. I've said this, you know, if you're one of these elite guys, you see and run into guys of the same stature along the way, whether it's high school, the camps now, college, and then you get in the league. So we are big Larry Fitzgerald fans, man. He's a class act. But we need the Falcons to get a W in the worst way, especially coming after last night.
we love Larry. Larry Fitz, if you heard, that's one of our favorite interviews we did with him at the Super Bowl back in Houston back in the day. Just a good dude all around.
He was dressed to the nines that day, too, wasn't he?
Fun guy to talk to, man. Just sharp guy. He can totally do TV when he's done or whatever he wants to do. A great golfer as well. Hey, man, Christian Kirk still banged up. They're saying that might be a game-time decision. We talked earlier, David Johnson could be a game-time decision. So kind of like what the Giants are doing tonight with the Patriots, you could argue the Cardinals don't have all the weapons for the offensive side. How interested are you, by the way, tonight's game with the G-men and the Patriots?
Edelman's ready, apparently. I know he's been ailing, but I didn't expect him not to play. Listen, I think the Patriots' defense is going to be too good for the Giants' offense. And you said it. They just got a lot of pieces missing.
Yeah, man, Saquon Barkley is still out. He's going to be ahead of schedule on return, but he's not ready yet. Sterling Shepard is banged up. And Gallman, by the way, out of Clemson, who's the backup for Saquon, he's banged up. So they got a lot of issues, not exactly going in there with all the weapons. So Daniel Jones, I think this is going to be like one of those welcome to the NFL moments with the Patriots tonight.
It might be. I'm just looking at this, man. Patriots have a chance to go 6-0 tonight.
They're 17. In some books, they're 17.5-point favorites tonight.
Wow. All right, man. We got our Falcon report coming up. We will talk about Cliff Kingsbury. What are they trying to do in Arizona? How are they going to attack our defense? Now, I know you're going, well, it ain't been hard. No, it hasn't. But we expect Dan Quinn to make adjustments. We'll tell you about Air Raid and Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.